Today on Brave, a lesson from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Now, many of us have been told to pray. If you've come to church, you've seen prayer. But how important is prayer? This will not be an exhaustive study on prayer, but we're going to hit some high points, and I want to be authentic with you about my growth in prayer and how I think it is the most important spiritual discipline of all the others and how everything falls into place if you learn how to pray.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today, Pastor Jeff continues an inspiring message on the power of prayer in a series called Discipleship. He's reminding Christians that some of the greatest victories we're seeking have already been won. Through the discipline of prayer, we bring God's heavenly power to our daily battles. And the first step we need to take is to move from spiritual independence to dependence. And let me remind you, you can always revisit or share these Bible lessons with friends and family at our website, bravemedia.online. Now, let's listen as Pastor Jeff teaches us to harness the power of prayer. The message is titled, Independence to Dependence.
Today we're going to talk about foundational choice number 4, or a shift that we need to make. And this choice that we have today is to choose to seek the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, we call this the Lord's Prayer because the Lord was teaching his disciples to pray. So here's what he says in verse 9. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, as we walk through this prayer this morning, I'm going to talk about prayer giving you access to 5 different things that you need to be aware of. And the first is this. When we pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, we are seeing that prayer involves access to a personal and reverent relationship with God. God has ordained prayer as a mechanism for the believer to move and change what's going on in the world. It means you have the privilege of changing human history through prayer. It's the most important spiritual discipline, which is why I will tell you this, it is the most opposed spiritual discipline. If you don't believe me, do this. Please do this. Set a time sometime after church, either today or tomorrow. I mean, set it right now. Write it down. Put that time down and say, God, this is your 10 minutes. I promise you it will be opposed. Because the enemy knows that the one thing he doesn't want you to do is seek the Lord, because if you do, different things happen. See, this is what the prayer is talking about. It says, our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name. Then what's he say in verse 10? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is where I want to spend a majority of our time. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, prayer involves access to a power that manifests Christ's agenda. Access means I'm plugged into God. Access means that I'm experiencing him. When you're plugged into God, there is a power that gets expressed unlike any other. Like, I've heard people say something like this. When they're experiencing God, they'll say, man, God is on the move right now. God is on the move. He's on the move. God moves in and through you when you pray. Because when you read in the New Testament of Christ in you, the hope of glory, it means that everything that was true about Jesus, Jesus is now residing in you. And so God wants to get done through you everything he would get done through Jesus if he were the one living in and through your life. So check this out. When I read my Bible, I see in Ephesians 2 verses 5 and 6, for it is by grace that I've been saved through faith and that I have been seated in the heavenly realms in Christ. Positionally, I'm already a victor. And in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, if you just write that verse down, it says this, that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. When you became a believer, God has granted you divine power for everything you will ever need for your life and for living godly. Picture this, that by grace, You've been saved, and picture a heavenly storage container of everything that you will ever need to accomplish, everything God ever wants to do in your life, and you have complete access to it. See, here's what the devil knows, that you have access to God through Jesus Christ to have supernatural power departed into your life if you will take the access of it. You say, where in the world are you getting that? I'm getting it from the Bible, so let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 3, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the what? The power that works where? Within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I've heard that verse quoted by everybody all the time. Praise God. He's got more power than anything and he can do it all through us. Praise God. He can do it all. More than we can ask or think. Well, where are we going to get this power? Well, if you go back up to verse 14, you'll see. Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man. I'm Paul and I'm praying for you to experience God's ultimate divine power in everything that you have so you will live out with everything that you need to accomplish everything that God wants you to do. It means this. Listen, church, if you're a believer in Christ, you are a victim and not a victor. You're backwards. I'm looking at your faces and nobody's saying amen. You're a victor and not a victim. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm getting all worked up. Thanks for paying attention, though. I find that sometimes we pray like victims. We pray earthly. We pray with what we can see. We pray our circumstance. We pray what's not happening. God help, it's not working. I know you could, but you probably won't. This is awful, I feel bad, change it. God, it's no, we pray like a victim. How about praying like a victor? God, I'm already victorious in Christ, and if you're for me, who can be against me? And what do you have in this situation? Because I know you'll bring whatever you need to bring, because you're gonna make this thing right, because you're the God of the universe, and I'm standing on your word. See, the devil doesn't want you to believe that you have victory. He believes maybe one day you'll have it. Let me tell you something. You already have the victory. Christ rose from the dead and he is in you. The victory has already taken place. When you pray as a victor, that it is done according to his word. That's why, I mean, you ever read these Old Testament stories and get fired up? Like, how is it Elijah calls down fire? It's like, dude, that's awesome. I wish I could call down fire. How is it David speaks to the giant Goliath like that and defeats him? How is it that Elijah, who James 5 tells us is a man who is just like us in every way, which means this, he's totally normal, prays and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years, and then he prays and it starts raining. Like, where do they get this power? The same place that you can get it too. And it means if you know God's word and you pray God's word, that God will act. That's what it means. I've heard the David and Goliath story preached so many times, sometimes faithfully, sometimes butchered to everything. And I mean, when I read that story is really not about a little shepherd boy that defeats a giant so God can defeat the giants in your life. Although I'll tell you, he can defeat the giants in your life. Here's what's going on. God promised the land to Israel. It's their land. There's an enemy in their land. Everybody in Israel's scared except David, who knows his Bible, who's like, what's he doing in our land? I don't care if he's 9'6", 17 feet. I don't care what he is. My God said he doesn't belong there, and he's done. So when he says, hey, when the bear came along and the lion came along and I killed them, he wasn't saying, I've been preparing for this big battle my whole life. He's saying when evil comes against what's good, good always wins. So I don't care who this guy is, I'm gonna go beat him. And when you read in the Bible, when Goliath says, who are you, a dog? And you're gonna come at me with your sticks? David's like, no, you don't get it. I'm not coming after you with sword or javelin. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. What's he saying? God's power is coming on you and you're done. And we read that story and we're like, wow, that's awesome. God would have done that through anybody that believed his word. David was a man after God's own heart, which means David knew God's word. It means David was close to the Lord. It means David knew when to act, right? I mean, you have spiritual power accessible to you if you'll just take it. It's why prayer is opposed. Prayer is more caught than it is taught. And the more you see answered prayers, the more you can do it. Now, let me just tell you about what the Bible says. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and confidence, confident access through him in faith. And Hebrews 4 tells us we can approach the throne of grace with freedom and confidence too. It means you can come talk to God anytime, any way you want. It's just have confidence. You're already saved. What if I get the language wrong? You're already saved. I mean, I've told you the story when I was a youth pastor. I mean, somebody would get saved in our youth group and they would be so overwhelmed that they would start praying, and it wasn't uncommon for them to drop a swear word. I remember one time we were praying in a group and the F-bomb came out of this kid's mouth that had just gotten saved, and I'm praying with all the kids in my youth group and everybody's eyes were like, you know, like that. And they're all looking at me during the prayer like, are you gonna correct that? Are you gonna say something? And we got done praying and I looked at him and I said, Bob, that was a real authentic prayer. See, because I feel like the Holy Spirit can change his language. If he gets in touch with Jesus, I believe the Holy Spirit can change who he is. See, sometimes, well, I don't know how to pray. And some of us as men, we don't pray because we hear our wives pray with such great flowery language that oh, you be the leader. You be the spiritual leader. Lead us. I'm like, can't pray like that. You don't have to. Remember Peter's prayer when he was drowning? It was three words. It worked really well. Lord, save me. That's all he needed in the moment. God can hear your prayer. Just be authentic. Be real. Now, I've told you about my friend that my senior year in college, I led to the Lord, but I want to give you a little backup story. And I really felt in preparing this message, I want to be vulnerable with you because sometimes when you hear a pastor preach on prayer, you think, well, pastor, you've been doing this for 30 years, which I have, and you're so skilled at prayer and it just works for you. It doesn't work for me. So I just want to be candid with how I began to grow in prayer. So in college, after I had gotten saved, right after I got saved. I went to the University of Illinois. Bad decision. It wasn't a theologically adept school that was promoting Jesus Christ. And so I tried to find a ministry and I couldn't get connected to one. And the one I went to, they had these things called testimonies every week. But as I told you, the testimonies celebrated more of the bad life that these people lived than it celebrated Jesus Christ and what he'd done in their heart. Well, I hadn't been all that bad. I mean, I did plenty of bad, but I hadn't been that bad. And I felt, they asked me to give my testimony. I'm like, I don't have one. I don't have a story like these people. And I felt uncomfortable being around people that were celebrating all the bad they did, so I never went back. And I built my testimony. And it was miserable. Because for 3 years, I had one foot that was wanting to grow with Christ, and I had this other foot in football and fraternity, and I was waffling back and forth all the time. I'm telling you this because there's people who go to Brave Church. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're living that way right now. I mean, you're here on Sunday and you're like, praise God, I know it's true. But on Monday through Saturday, you're living your life in such a way that if people saw you, there's no way they're a Christian. But you're a Christian, you just aren't walking it out. That was me. And here's how I used to pray. I used to pray prayers like this. After a wild night of partying or something like that, I remember I used to pray. See if you prayed like this before. Lord, I'm so sorry. I will never, ever do that again. If you just help me get over the sickness and help me get in my classes and help me do it, I promise this is the last time. Lord, I'm so sorry. That don't work. Do you know why? Because it's a lie. I remember one day I stopped lying to the Lord. Here's how I began to pray. Hey, Lord, I'd love to tell you I'm sorry, but I don't even feel sorry. I actually like this party life that I'm living, but I read in your word that you hate it. Will you give me a hatred for what you hate, and will you give me a love for what you love? Because I'd love to tell you I'll never do this again, but I know what my friends are doing later this afternoon, and I'll probably go out and party with them again tonight. But I know you don't want me to be that, but would you help me? Could you bring some men in my life that could help me? Do you know that week God brought two men into my life? God began to change my life. When I got real with God, God took that all away. Now, here's what he did. He filled me so much with Jesus that I stopped doing the things that I did before. But it wasn't because I was trying. It wasn't because I was keeping records. I went 3 days without getting drunk. Now I go to go 4 days without getting drunk. It wasn't like that anymore. It was like, I got Jesus and I don't want anything to get in the way of my relationship with Christ. Now I went from the kid that was out turning it up to the kid that was leading people to Christ. And one was my roommate that I led to Christ. And the way he ended up coming to Christ was because God started teaching me how to pray. Because I was getting rumors that my friend, like now I'm starting to walk with the Lord. And starting that fall, my roommate was coming back and I'd heard that he was smoking pot, selling it, and maybe into other drugs. And I'm not a rocket scientist, but I knew like if I wanted to walk with Christ, probably not a good idea to sell drugs out of my apartment. So I asked this guy that was discipling me, like, what do we do? He's like, let's just pray for him. I'm like, okay. So I thought we were gonna sit down and say, dear Lord, help Aaron not sell drugs and amen. This guy said, I'll meet you every morning at your apartment. He came to my house at about 8 a.m. We pray every single day for a half an hour every day. We just pray for Aaron. Whatever he was doing, God, you know where he's at. You know what he's doing. Just change his heart. Bring him to yourself. And then my friend had to go away, and I started doing that every morning, half an hour. Now, half an hour for me at that time, seem like forever. I mean, it just seemed like a long time, but that's what I did. I prayed for him. Now, he came back to school that fall, and a long story short, ended up seeing how I was living, ended up hearing the gospel, gave his life to Christ, and started walking with Jesus. Subsequently, I began to tell him, this is what I did for you all summer. While you were out doing whatever you did, like, what were you doing this summer? Because I prayed for you every single day. He said, bro, he's like, you don't even know. He's like, not only was I smoking weed constantly, I was high the whole summer. He goes, I was selling it, but I got introduced to these people in Indianapolis that were teaching me how I could sell cocaine, and they were introducing me to all these women. And had I gone down that road, they were showing me all this money I would have had. He goes, I would have been trapped for the rest of my life. He goes, I'd probably be dead. Thanks for praying for me. Now, when I saw God move on somebody's life, then I'm like, man, if you pray for people, you'll screw it up. You can screw their lives up for the good. So I started praying for people. And the more I started praying for people, the more I saw God start moving in their life. That's why God calls us to pray for the saints. When you read every one of Paul's letters, I've been wrestling in prayer. We've been praying for you day and night. Because Paul believes that through prayer, God can impart spiritual power into other people so that his kingdom can be manifested in them. Pray. There's spiritual power that can be unleashed. And when you pray as a victor and not a victim, it becomes difficult because even Christians will tell you, well, don't pray that way because God may not do it. See, I believe God still opens wombs. I believe God still delivers from drugs. I believe God still heals people. Does he do it every single time? No, I mean, there's only three answers you can get when you pray. You ready? Pray and God's gonna say, yes, it's done. No, it's never gonna happen. Third, it's just not time yet. See, here's what I believe. Sometimes God doesn't do it in our time. It's either go, no, or slow. I mean, and it's usually the answer we don't want at that time. That's what I've found. That usually when I'm praying about something and God's like, go, it's like, well, I'm not ready yet. And usually when I want it, he's like, slow or no. And I'm like, come on, God. Knowing God is getting into God's heart so we can pray what God wants, because every time we pray what God wants, God does exactly what he's gonna do. When Elijah's praying for no rain, God told them back in Deuteronomy that if people weren't obedient, he would dry up the land. All Elijah's doing is praying for what God promised. So he's just praying, here's what God said he was gonna do, I'm praying that God will do what he says he's gonna do. He did it. In 1 Kings 18, God says, I'm about ready to bring rain. So Elijah starts praying for rain. Elijah didn't do anything except ask for what God already wanted to do. That's what prayer is. Does God want to see people healed? Yes, pray for it. Does God want to see people delivered? Yes, pray for it. Does God want to see wombs open so that people can raise kids? Yes, pray for it. Does that mean God will always do what you want? No, God may not open your womb. God may give you a heart and desire to foster or adopt. It's fine. But God will change who you are in the process to get done what he wants to get done. There are spiritual power given to those who seek his face. And that's why we got to continue to pray and not give up, because we view God as like a microwave, like I want to plop it in for 30 seconds and come out with this really hot meal. And sometimes it's not 30 seconds, and sometimes it's not 3 months, and sometimes it's not even 3 years. Some of you have prayed for the same thing for 30 years, and God's still hearing your prayer, and he's going to do it. Pray and don't give up, right? But there's power available to you. I mean, you can access the power every single time you pray. Let's continue in this prayer. Let me give you a third reason we want to pray. Because prayer provides access to a provision that meets needs. This is our favorite. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now notice two words in there, day and daily. That means today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes we're praying for our monthly bread, our yearly bread. God, by the end of this year, I need. He's like, I see what you need. Just pray for today. I mean, our daily bread. Now, bread is not just money. Bread is not just food. Bread is any sustenance you need today to accomplish God's kingdom agenda in the world. I mean, we just got done praying for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means, God, I'm praying for your power to come. I'm praying for Jesus Christ and all of his fullness to be here. And until you get here, let me live as a representative on earth for everything that's happening in heaven. Pour your power through me in such a way that the world knows that Jesus Christ is alive. Now give us this day our daily bread. Give it, give it, give it, give it, give it. So that sounds kind of rude. Just give me, give me, give me, give me. See, if your heart is aligned with God, you'll know exactly what to ask for him to give you. Like, if you want what God wants, all you're doing is asking for him to release from heaven the very things that you need. So you're gonna ask prayers according to his will. And John 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and what? Sometimes I might do it, sometimes I might not. No, that's not what it says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. So what do you need? See, sometimes we don't have clarity on what we need. We have a lot of wants, but we're not clarity on what we need to accomplish what God wants us to do because we don't even know what God wants us to do. When you know what God wants you to do, then you can ask for the specific things you need to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And every time you ask for those things, God hears it and says, yeah, I can do that. Now, you've heard this story before, but many of you have, but I tell it again because this story changed my whole life in prayer. I mean, my first church that I pastored as a youth pastor had about 100 people in a weekend and four youth. That's what we had. I don't know how they hired me. Our annual budget for the year was $113,000. That included the pastor's salary, my part-time salary, and taking care of all the church ministries. Our annual budget for the student ministry was $500 for the year, okay? Our youth group grew from four to about 100. Our kids decided we want to reach our high school. One way they thought they wanted to reach the high school was by doing this barn dance type of thing on a Friday night where we'd invite all the kids from the high school to come and do line dancing and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, if you want to meet your friends and we'll share the gospel with them, I mean, come on. And these kids were fired up evangelists. So we said, let's do it. So we found a place that a guy let us rent his barn and we got ready to go. Now the kids kept telling me we need bales of hay. I said, what for? Because we want to decorate, we want places to sit, places to take pictures. It'd be fun to have bales of hay. So I said, no problem. So I started calling all the farmers in West Illinois and asking them, okay, you have bales of hay? They're like, yeah. Every bale of hay costs between $3 and $5 a bale and we needed 100 or 200. So I couldn't conceive of spending our entire youth ministry budget on bales of hay for the year. I couldn't justify that. So I had seen God answer prayer from the women in our church that prayed, so I began to pray every day for hay. I mean, I was like Dr. Seuss for about a period of 2 months. And the kids would come ask me, do we get hay? I'm like, I can't find any. Well, we got a friend. So I'd call them. It didn't work. Every day I prayed for hay, nothing happened. On Thursday night, we went to set up this barn before the Friday night dance that we were going to have. Music got put in, speakers got put in, decorations got put in, all this stuff. There were like 70 kids there decorating. The guy that let us borrow his barn said to me, hey, your kids are awesome. I mean, the fact they want to reach their friends with the gospel and do all this, I'm just excited I can participate. I told him, hey, thanks for letting us do this. I said, the only problem that we have in the whole thing is that we just wanted some bales of hay. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, the kids wanted like bales of hay to sit on and have pictures. He said, well, how many do you need? I'm like, I don't know, like 100 to 200. He said, well, wait right here. And he went inside and made a phone call. And he came back out and he said, hey, get seven of your kids to come with me. And I went out behind and he owned a towing company. So he had a flatbed trailer. And he said, get seven of your kids, stand on the back. He got us on this trailer. He drove us 1 mile down the road from his barn to another barn. He said, this is my friend's barn. He said, you can have as many bales of hay as you want. If you break one, it's a dollar. Otherwise, I'll bring all of them back for you. And he opened up the door to the barn and there were thousands of bales of hay, 1 mile from where we needed bales of hay.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and a message titled Independence to Dependence. We're learning about what it means to be a committed follower of Jesus in a series called Disciple Shift. And you can always find these messages at our website, bravemedia.online. Pastor Jeff made an important distinction that's easy to forget in the hustle and bustle of life. There's a big difference between what we think we want in this life and what we actually need. God truly knows us best and wants what's best for us. Pastor Jeff explains that the more time we spend with God, the more we'll align our desires with His. And when we pray for things we actually need, God's promised that He'll always provide. All we have to do is ask. Here at Brave, we took the bold step to create this ministry and make our daily Bible teachings widely available to help you grow in your walk of faith. And if you'd like to pay it forward and help others receive the same spiritual support, you can do that right now with a financial gift to our ministry. You can partner with us and keep these gospel lessons on the air by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can also send a check in the mail right to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. That's 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. If you're in the Denver area, visit us in person for weekend services at Brave Church. We'd be thrilled to see you this weekend at any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and our newest campus in Colorado Springs. If you're listening from elsewhere, join us through our live stream. You'll find details to attend or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Head to the bottom of the homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. I'm your host, Bill Carl, Join us next time for the conclusion of Pastor Jeff's message, Independence to Dependence. We're learning that the power to change the world is accessed on our knees. Right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.